My name's Ron, grateful believer, Jesus Christ, and having victory over my alcoholism and a sundry other issues. I have to start over. I forgot where I began. So anyway, haven't been up here for a while. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I came here a few years ago. I used to go to CR on Wednesday night, and I would go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, on Thursday night. I'd go to Al-Anon for my codependency on Friday night. Saturday night, I would go to GA, Gamblers Anonymous. And then Sunday, I'd go to church. Monday, I would go to Overeaters Anonymous, OA. And then Tuesday, I would go to NA, Narcotics Anonymous. I was so anonymous, I couldn't even remember my own name, for God's sake. I don't know why everything I love in life, all my passions, hobbies, everything, they all end in another recovery and 12-step recovery program. That's telling you when to laugh. So, I'd love to take up another hobby. I'd love to take up golf, but I don't have any nights left in the week for Golf's Anonymous. Ruining my whole thing here. So you go to like a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, so you introduce yourself as an alcoholic, and that's fine until you accidentally do that at the PTA meeting for your daughter. My daughter's Tina. My name's Ron. I'm an alcoholic. Oops. All right. Anyway. Okay. Give Derek a. Yeah, thanks for screwing it up, man. Well, this is lesson number 11, spiritual inventory 2. And this is the final wrap up for the fourth step, just in case you're wondering. We've had actually four lessons on the fourth step. So we had morale was the first one for moral fourth step. We had inventory, then spiritual inventory 1, and this is spiritual inventory 2. And so step 4 is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So we're talking about morality, moral and spirituality. So what is morality, right and wrong? We're talking about right and wrong. We're getting to the base. We have right and righteousness, and I guess we have wrong and wrongshousness, I guess. I don't know. I'll tell you how to spell that later. I'm going to go ahead and we'll get your hands out. I know the back seats, I don't think we were low on them, but to fill out the sheets for tonight, is your mind, it's number 1, your body, your family, and your church. And this fits. I'm gonna read through there's some questions that they have on the lesson. I'm gonna kind of go through this kind of quickly, and we'll get back to some of this later in the lesson. But I wanted to get through the main lesson here. Your mind. How have you guarded your mind in the past? Denial. Have you filled your mind with hurtful and unhealthy movies, television programs, internet sites, magazines, or books? Have you failed to concentrate on the positive truths of the Bible? Some questions about the mind. Your body. In what ways in the past have you mistreated your body? Have you abused alcohol and drugs, food, sex? Well, that covers it for me. What past activities or habits caused harm to your physical health. And then your family. In the past, have you mistreated anyone in your family? Who in your family do you have a resentment against? Who do you owe an amends to? What is the family secret that you have been denying? Family's brought up here because family is so important. It's a key base. And I think we're all just being through the holidays. I think that's when it kind of brings family together and brings out the niceties and brings out the dysfunction. But family is important, and I think any work that we can do there to help that be healthier is a great thing. And same with your church. Have you been faithful to your church in the past? Have you been critical rather than active? In the past, have you discouraged your family's support of their church? So church is also important. I think tonight mind and body is kind of what I'm centering on here. I'm going to read from Galatians. I'm sorry to do some reading here at the first, but I've read this a while back, and I've kind of been meditating on it, have some questions on it, but I felt it really fit tonight's lesson. God always kind of gives me something to fit in. And speaking of morality and spirituality, right and wrong, and we're working on, in this step, basically, I know we look at the good, but our main thing for this step is to find, I guess, the bad, some negative features, and discover it and get rid of them. And let me read this. This is Galatians. If you'd all now turn in your Bibles, please. No. Always want to say that. Galatians 5:16 to 6:10. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I love that. I think that just covers a whole lot of base of what we're doing here. And moving, hopefully, from works of the flesh to the fruits of the Spirit. And so it makes the moral inventory and spiritual inventory make more sense to me. What's flesh and what's spirit? I can get kind of confused because I'm, you know, we're flesh. The body is the flesh, and the mind is the spirit. The mind is the seat of the emotions and the intelligence and the thought processes, the soul, I guess, if you will. When I drank, I mean, I drank liquid, but I drank to feel good. I drank to I just have some peace of mind. But I did, like, when I drank, I just sat in a bar and stuff. I mean, I wasn't really active or doing anything, but I was comfortable and talked. And I think so we do things through the flesh, but yet even like a dope addict myself, using dope, doing other things, gambling even. I don't know. It just gave me a peace of mind and took my mind off things and whatnot. So I now have to. That was my spirit, my spiritual life, I guess, if you will. And now I have to get my peace of mind. My sponsor says one thing. I do hear slowly to get the same effect of what I used to do and got it quickly. You can go to all the psychologists and psychiatrists in the world and work and work and work, and you can take a couple little drinks, and it, you know, that's all the psychiatry you need, you know, for a while. We do fleshly things, I guess, to get spiritual results. But like I say, now I do the program and I do these things. I do the fourth step to look into myself. All this stuff that we're doing is to look into myself and examine, as it says, and get the character defects, faults, shames, guilts, sins, wrongs. Root out the garbage in our lives and get rid of it. And by doing that, I have a closer walk with God. When I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing, when I'm doing the works of the flesh, I guess, if you will, I'm not all that interested in spiritual, godly things, even if I'm going to church and putting on the show. But when I quit doing those things and I work at it and I read my Bible and do spiritual things, I feel closer to God. I feel closer to you guys. And so that's a lot of the purpose of what we're doing here. But In the lesson tonight for the mind and the body, and just like it says here, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So what are you putting in your mind? What are you sowing in your mind? Are you sowing Bible reading and prayer and spiritual things, or are you sowing worldly things? And I'm easily influenced. I mean, I need to be here. I need to be here a lot. I need to pray a lot. Not too long ago, I had quit gambling when I quit drinking almost 25 years ago. And a while back, I saw I was getting tires at Les Schwab, and they had poker on TV. It was getting real big, and these poker games in Vegas, No Limit. Instead of going and looking at tires like I should have been doing, I sat at the table and watched, you know. I thought, no big deal, it's kind of interesting. I hadn't been to Vegas in 20 years or whatever. And it was just away from that world, and no big deal. And then later at home, flipping through the channels, and here was Poker After Dark, and ESPN started having a lot of poker on TV. Oh, that looks kind of it. That looks good. So I turned it on and watched. And then, you know, like it's 4 a.m. in the morning, and I'm still watching, you know. It's like, and then I started buying some poker books. I mean, I've just crazy. Pretty soon I got online and was playing poker. I mean, it took a while, but that's what I was feeding my mind. I had a poker book next to my bed. I mean, when I ended up, I had a bag of poker books that I, you know, well, I still have it, actually. Anybody want a bag of poker books? You know, I had three online poker places I was playing online. I had run up to Le Center and played cards up there. Not big like I used to, and I actually probably even came out a little bit ahead, but I was just playing low limit, but I don't need to be there. I mean, it wasn't the money. It's that it takes my mind off of God. I'm not real close to God when one time I used to start Friday night and play clear through Sunday night. I mean, there's no sleep. It's just crazy. You're not too close to God, you know, when you're doing that. And it's just the wrong stuff. So what are you feeding your mind? And your body's the same way. What are you putting into your body? I'm certainly not, the lack of sleep, the alcohol, killing the brain cells and the kidney and liver and all the stuff that, plus the, just the banging around drunk and all the drama that goes with that. So that's not happening. I know I need to get a little healthier, otherwise, but so, what is all of this? We've been doing now 4 weeks. Why 4 weeks on the fourth step? And I just think because it's important. I think this is really where the rubber meets the road in recovery. And this is where you really start to healing. It's not easy. It's not, I had all that stuff buried, a lot of mud over the top of it, and for years and years, why stir it all up? Why, just leave it alone. And, but the program says, no, I did it. But that's why, too, we get sponsors. That's why we have all the stuff that we have here to help us. There's a lot of help here. There's the book that Patty sells back at the table, and all the questions are in here to help. All this stuff is just to help you find the negative and the defects in you and get them out. Not everything either is on that sheet. That sheet is helpful. We've been over that. The five columns and whatnot. And I try to put things here and make them work out. There's some things I just need to write down. There's some things I just don't get. I can't make it work on here. And that's okay. It's just to get it out. Get it down on paper. Write it. Writing. Something about writing it and getting it down in black and white. And I know sometimes maybe there's stuff you don't want somebody to find. So I don't know. Maybe you could write in secret code or something. I don't know. But you burn this stuff up eventually. But get it out. The thing is, get it out. This is not the, work the fourth step too as the fourth step. Don't worry about having to read it to another person. It's just you and the paper and God. So do this step as this step. They're in order for a reason. But get the stuff out. Uncover, discover, and discard is what they say. And the discarding is going to come. But try to just get it out. There is, let's see. I just listed some things here that some other resentments and anger, all of this stuff, the books, the sponsor, the inventory sheet, step study guide, step studies, four teachings in a row. It's all geared to just shake up our memory, get us thinking, looking at that stuff, talking with others. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to get all of it. Usually there's a couple of huge, big things that comes to your mind right away, or maybe it's that thing that you're going to take to your grave with you, and that's fine. Just write it down for now. Just do that much with it at least, and see. See if it helps, because long as that stuff's there, you've got a big wall between you and God, and I believe possibly between you and your recovery and getting sober or whatever you're working on. And until I could do this stuff, I mean, I was in and out for years and finally did this stuff the way it was taught and got in the middle and just did the deal. I made a list here of resentments, anger, hate, rage, And on the list it has people, but you could have people, institutions, inanimate objects, ideals, religions, philosophies, politics, sports teams, ourselves. I had a lot of self-loathing. I didn't like myself. I had to deal with that. Put myself down or think. I'd say, well, God, they say you didn't make any junk, but look at me. I mean, I just, this garbage that needed to go. People can be parents, siblings, spouses, other drivers, judges, referees, bank tellers, church leaders. I've made a lot of amends to bank tellers. Teachers, politicians. I made amends one time to a bank teller. I went back the next day to do it, and I just got angry with her and right in front of everybody. So I thought, well, I'm going to make my amends in front of everybody. So I made this amends in front of everybody, and then she said, well, I didn't work yesterday. Thanks. So, you know, it's got to be ready. So the quicker you make them, the better. Institutions like DMV, I've been there today, court system, political party, banks, casinos, racetracks, stock markets, just things that we can blame, blame them, you know. I loved it when the guy loaned me a whole lot of money on a house that I knew wasn't worth it. Now it's not so funny, but it wasn't his fault. So it's looking at ourselves. Where did I, you know, it was my fault, not his. I can blame him all day long, or the system, or, the president or whatever. But I got to take, this is taking responsibility for my actions and what I've done. It doesn't do any good to tell him his or work on his. And I love that holding on to these resentments and being hateful and angry is like you taking the poison and hoping the other guy dies. And the other guy doesn't even know you're mad at him, or especially a DMV. Inanimate objects like computers. I ruined a computer once, okay? I'm just crazy with that stuff. Car, vacuum cleaner, furniture, Christmas lights, the house, slot machines. Stuff I have no control over. But I've gotten angry at such things. And sometimes you do, I don't know if we have any sheetrock punchers in the room, but I had to learn sheetrock repair. I never was very good at it. And you also have to learn to hit between the studs. I'll give you that little clue right now if you ever go that way. And it's hard sometimes. So, you can use your anger as a tool. If I get in the morning and I get on the highway and I want to teach that guy how to drive, I love to. I haven't done it for a long time, but there's always a guy in the fast lane that's doing about 50. You know, it's 65 over here on 205. And so I will get in front of that guy and do 45 until that's teaching him that you're not supposed to go fast in this lane. You're supposed to move over. And so I wait till he gets it. You know, he gets the lesson. Well, then by that time, you've got a whole stack of cars behind you and they're all mad at you. You know, now they all go by, you know. But I'm going to teach that guy a lesson. And then a lot of times it's just some old man or something, you know, like, oh, whoops. My wife said one time, now, if that was your grandmother or grandfather, how would you feel? You know, I said, well, I don't know. Maybe they shouldn't be on the road. I don't know. But you know, if I'm starting my day that way, then, you know, something's wrong. I better check myself out and see why am I angry? And, you know, one thing leads to the next. So you can use your anger, even just thinking about what do you get angry at, and write it down. And then use that. It really is a good help to see why am I getting angry? Take it, use the five columns and what when you can, and take it to a deeper level. Just see what makes you tick. I mean, there's really some good discovery that can go on here for yourself, some good recovery and getting closer to God and the whole deal. So Let's see, did I have anything else on here? Any shame and guilt for things we have done and things we didn't do that we should have. Selfish behavior. Selfishness is huge. The other program I go to says our selfishness kills us until we can get rid of it. And it's all about me, me, me. And when I'm that way, I mean, I'm no good to anybody. I had to learn that here. A lot of people are that way. Stealing, lying, blaming, physically hurting someone, emotionally, mentally hurting someone, cheating on tests or at work, hating, road rage incidents, drinking and gambling exploits, sexual exploits, immorality. All of this stuff is just to get us to think of these things. What's our past? What have we done? And write it down. Write it down so we can get rid of it and move on and not have it buried there. So use all of this stuff and use the five columns when you can. And if not, just get it down. Some things just don't fit, or I can't figure out how that, you know, the cause or effect or whatever. So look for patterns. Look for the big shame or guilt. Write it. Don't be perfect. Do the work so you can come clean, feel clean, get rid of the things that are blocking you off from a closer relationship with God and with your Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit a good, clean temple to dwell in. Have an open, honest, clean relationship with your higher power, Jesus. And I'll close with just picking out some of the things on this reading. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's the stuff I want to get rid of. I want to discover, look, search, find it, get rid of it. And then, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want a good dose of all of that? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then, but let each one examine his own work. And then the last one on here, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Thank you all very much.